our Father, we received in this evening service revelation knowledge in multiple fold of wisdom, that every walk in faith, walk in love, be corrected, straightened out this evening. Let us be one, recognize what offenses are and our true nature found in Christ. Let our eyes see only the man in Christ and no one else, as he sees us in him. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll be looking at binding and losing. Matthew 18. There are things to bind. And there are things to lose. Matthew 18. I will just quickly just go through it. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, I thought I asked us last week not to read it, remember? So we should skip it last week. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He never said whosoever. Whosoever you shall bind on earth, you know, it's whatsoever. Amen. Alright. And whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We're going to skip 18 and 20 till next week. It's all going to come together as we study. Now, something I want us to observe is that in this parable, if you look at the backup of this parable, it came at the back of Luke 15. Look at Luke 15. That is, if you observe the parable that Jesus shared before this instruction, it was the parable of the lost sheep. And I want us to understand what he was saying. Luke 15. And I want us to realize something here in Luke 15. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. This man receives, he welcomes sinners. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having an hundred sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that which is lost until he find it? Just observe something. So he begins to use a parable, and it was at the back of that parable that he talks about in chapter 18 of Matthew, how if you have an offense with a brother. Okay, let's listen out. So that parable is a parable of reconciliation, the lost sheep. Now, it's true that it's applicable in evangelism, because evangelism is also the message of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. But you see, if you observe that parable is a parable of reconciliation. We're going to see that. If you look at it again, that is, they were in the same sheepfold. There was a relationship before there was a separation. And so, the going after the sheep, which we call the lost sheep, is going after the sheep for reconciliation. So it's a reconciliation. Pay attention now. Now, if you observe it at the back of that Jesus spoke about, if a brother or brother of any of you should have a hurt, you know, you have sins against you, amatano, that you should go to him first. How would you observe the elements of that submission by Jesus? He says to go to him first. Which means that what he's teaching is active forgiveness. You know, there can be passive forgiveness, which many of us sometimes, a lot of Christians exercise, but it's not the scripture of forgiveness, where you say, well, I've forgiven him, but there's no activity to it. Get it? You get what I'm talking about? There's no activity. And he says, no, you will go to him. We saw that last week. If he doesn't hear you, akuho, You will go and bring two or three people. If it fails to hear them, then you'll tell it to the church. In other words, you do not exhaust the options for reconciliation. Same way as God is. Remember the parable that came to this story or this submission was that the shepherd will go after the sheep till he finds it. Remember that. That's important. Till he finds it. I remember this. I know I shared this story before. I just need to put it again in this teaching. In 2008, I was talking to someone. We were talking, I think it was around November. It was after World Changers Conference. And that was World Changers Conference we had towards almost close to Christmas. Was it Christmas or after Christmas? That was it? After Christmas. It was almost Christmas. I think we finished on Christmas Day or something. The day before Christmas Eve. So I remember I was talking to the master, it was a Christmas Day, so we were discussing. Then we began to talk about church discipline. And so he's an elderly man, he's in America. So we were talking, then he said something. And I talked about discipline and all that. And I've shared this story before about how people should be exposed the way those things are treated in the local church. Then he said something. He said, would this be the same thing if the offender were to be your son? No, he said someone very close to you, family, or to be your son, or to be your sibling, your brother, you know. And I was quiet a bit because I felt, sure, if someone is your sibling, you are not likely to say it on the pulpit. Am I making sense? Because he said the rules often change when the person is close home. Amen. Now, let me put this across to you. Would you act the same? Assuming someone who's your sibling, you had a disagreement on phone. Now, when I say sibling, you know there are siblings and there are siblings. In Africa, when you say siblings, you know you have to explain what you mean. There are siblings that are not from the same mother. And so there's a way you detach. Am I making sense? You want to pretend? Now, I don't have that experience. But I'm not sure yet. Because nobody has come out so far. But the truth is, imagine if your brother, you had a fallout at home and he said something you didn't like. You know, there's an approach you're going to take to ensure reconciliation. But if the person looks like just a church member, you know, you can afford not to relate closely for years. Amen. Because you consider your relationship formal. But the other one, you consider it very natural and such that there's an obligation that you have. So, I just said that because I'm going to come to that later. The truth is that what Jesus was teaching is not passive forgiveness. Oh man, alright, fine. Alright, I've forgiven him. Have you heard the story? I've forgiven him, but no. He's teaching active forgiveness. It's not good enough to say you are praying for the person. As some say. No one has asked you to pray for the person. No. Not yet. What you were told to do is to talk to the person. Amen. Active. But there must be activity to it. So that's why verse 18 says, whatsoever, not whosoever, thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now you say, what's the word bind? The word bind is a Greek word, D-O, used 43 times in New Testament Greek. It has three applications. One application is to declare something. Now, to declare something unlawful. That is, this is unlawful here. is not allowed. That's the first word. Then the other application is to literally tie someone with a rope. Then the third application is to restrict or to compel, to restrict, which is similar to the first one, but there are three applications. Now, whatsoever you will bind on earth, so listen carefully, let's see how these things were applied. Come on, quickly. Matthew 16:19, just the two chapters before. Matthew 16:19, two chapters before. His authority. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Again, he didn't say whosoever you shall bind. Whatsoever. He's not referring to demons at all. Or human beings too, anyway. Shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever. So he uses that. So whatsoever things. So here, it refers to activities or occurrences that you shall bind on earth. Pay attention. In Matthew 12:29, he talks about the strong man. And he says it like this. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he binds the strong man, and then he shall spoil his goods. He restricts the strong man, and then he spoils his goods. Acts 20:22, to bind. Paul is speaking here. Now this is vital. Watch this. Okay? You must pray in that. Verse 21 says, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take verse 22 together. Let's go. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. I go bound in the Spirit. That is, I am compelled. I'm restricted from staying where I am, but I'm compelled to go to Jerusalem. Romans 7:2. Listen now. The woman which has a husband is bound by the law. She's bound by the law to her husband. She's bound by the law to her husband. 1 Corinthians 7:27. That's marriage, an obligation. 1 Corinthians 7:27. Art thou bound unto your wife, seek not to be loose. Does it make sense? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife, seek not a wife. Strong words. 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. So, in other words, binding has to do with an obligation. Alright? An obligation to act. So, when you are bound, okay, or what you bind is something that you make an obligation towards. Okay? So, if it's whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. In other words, whatever you are obligated to do, or whatever you decide to do, or whatever you bind yourself to do, is bound in heaven. So, he's referring to activities that you either permit or you don't permit. So that's important. The next word is whatever you lose, which is the word luho, L-U-O. It means to release or to annul. To release or to annul. And I'm particular about this word because it's used for something so similar to what Jesus is discussing here in Ephesians 2:14. It's used for sin. Ephesians 2:14. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who has broken, has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, he broke down, he took away the middle wall of partition. Just like what we have just seen in about binding has to do with relationship with activities. Don't forget. Revelation 1:5. Okay? And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, pay attention, unto him that loved us and washed us. The word washed us is the word luho. Washed us from our own sins, from our sins in his own blood. He washed us. In other words, he released us from sin. He released us from sin. So, the two things he's talking about, binding and losing. So, if I have a friend who offended me, and Jesus is referring to reconciliation and forgiveness, alright? And he says, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I lose on earth, he's losing heaven. So what am I supposed to bind? What am I supposed to restrict? Huh? Unforgiveness. Or better say, offense. What am I supposed to lose? Forgiveness. Sins. So, I bind and lose. In other words, if the brother doesn't act right, I must act right. Now, if he has behaved like he's not a brother, he doesn't seek reconciliation, then I will treat him like a sinner and a publican. In other words, I will bind unforgiveness and offenses, and then I will lose. Get it? So, binding and losing are my reactions towards offense. Is that clear? So, let's get back to what we're saying. The key issue here is not just an action, but a reconciliation. There must be a reconciliation. That's what Jesus is saying. So, if the brother doesn't accept reconciliation, I will now bind and lose. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Do you get it? The binding and losing comes to play at what point? When the brother refuses reconciliation. So, because at that point, you know, I can have enough grounds to say, hey, this fellow get out. He says, no. You have to bind that and ensure that's not your action. Then you have to lose forgiveness. Amen. You know, in Luke's account, the guy says, Lord, increase our faith. Peter says, Lord, how many times does this have to happen in a day? How many times does it have to happen in a day? Jesus says, 70 times 7, you go. That's for one person. One person. You know, whatever, about 3-4 people. In other words, figure of speech simply means you must have the law of advanced forgiveness. In other words, hey, I always tell people, you must get ready in every relationship to forgive. Sometimes we put too much pressure on our relationships. It's the same thing as the pastor and the flock. And some pastors make themselves that way anyway. You make your husband, your wife, your kids. Sometimes we raise the bar too high. that it now creates unforgiveness. Get ready for your pastor to offend you. You right? Someone say, I've been experiencing that stuff for some time now. God have mercy on you. You say, well, get ready for your wife, your husband. Sometimes everything looks cool. Well, because I remember a particular denomination I used to function years back. If you want to get married, you go to the marriage committee. You must not tell the lady anything. So people go to the marriage committee, so eventually they say, you go and pray and all that, and everything happens, and then they marry. So they found out that there was a whole lot of things going on in the marriages that were not talked about, because people didn't expect that the brother you see in church will be metamorphosed in the house. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you see, you'll find out the brother's not praying tongues all the time. Amen. Some things can even be irritating to you. For example, some people can get so annoyed with someone snoring. That can break up a home. No, you can say no. Of course, you can't go to divorce court and say, I'm divorcing for snoring. But you see, it can start from simple things like that. Just irritated. I told you a couple. Christian sister and brother. They were together. They're speaking tongues. Hallelujah. Son died. Good folks. You know. And then the wife warned the husband. See, I don't like people pressing the toothpaste tube from the middle. You know the story. I've told you this for about a year. And then the guy said, okay, he's like me. I don't care. How are you GCI? You keep your toothpaste in a nylon. Who cares what the tube looks like? But she's coming from this kind of background. So she got so angry because that's how she was taught. And then the brother just said, Soji. And she gave him a dirty slap. Why did you do this? The brother bound something. But he was going to lose something. You know, some sisters can talk. You let them go, you think they are interceding. The guy just left the home. Then by the time she was back from work, he had changed the locks of the room and saw her things outside the gate for toothpaste. You get it? So sometimes people get surprised. You mean? Do you mean this? Say yes. Then the bitterness starts. Because you thought you married someone who didn't have flesh and bone. Amen. So you sometimes you raise suicide. Forgiveness is normal. Say it. You said it too quick. Say forgiveness is normal. Forgiveness must happen every day. Raise your voice. Say, in all my relationships, forgiveness must happen every day. We're going to confess together. Let's say one more time. In all my relationships, forgiveness must happen every day. Okay, one more time. In all my relationships, forgiveness must happen every day. If there's someone you have never forgiven before, there's a bomb ticking somewhere. How can someone be so perfect? And he said, who saved him? Everything he does, everything written about him, is he. Not the written word now. When this guy, a lady told me that, that guy is so gentle, he doesn't get annoyed, I say, eh? Hey.
Yeah, no, sir, I'm serious. He's so cool. He's so gentle.
The day everything will come out, it will be a phanerosis. There will be nothing more to add. Praise God. In many relationships, we fail to realize, and I say it often, that particularly relationships that you develop when you're young, everyone is growing. I can't imagine a woman saying she knows me. I don't even know me. How can you know me? How? You only know what you see. Some things are, I said to someone, I said, imagine if God to help us all write on our Facebook status what's on your mind. He said, let me write it for you. Most of the legalists will say, please Lord, don't do it. Don't do it. I believe in Jesus Christ. You can go on your mind. Praise God. How did I get here? Reconciliation cannot be done in absence. Reconciliation must be done with the person involved. You can't reconcile on your own. You must reconcile towards someone. Are you there? Come on, are you there? That's why he says, number one, you call, you go to him. Then you take two or three, then you take the elders. You must always, write this down, you must always be found searching for your brother. There must be no time you stop, you're open for reconciliation. Let me say this quickly. Every believer must be relationship conscious. Do you know, I taught you this. What sense was that? That you cannot say you are saved alone. But I explained to you that part of the faith you have in Christ is love for the brethren. Which series was that? What teaching was that? That we explained the word and love for all saints. What series was that? I was thinking about it today. Which one? What is it? Huh? What? The new creation and its relationship. You cannot say, well, I just know Jesus. I'm married to Jesus. Don't leave me alone. You know, no. Salvation involves loving his church. You love me, you love my dog. That's salvation. I am Jesus whom you persecute. You can't claim to love God and then his children, you are not in good relationship with them. You don't love him in that context. So you must realize the importance of relationship. You must be pro-relationship. Pro. Doesn't mean everybody's going to be in your close circle of friends, no. But you must be cordial and warm and receptive towards every believer. Praise God. Because that's what Christianity is. As important as what you believe is, sometimes some folks may not believe the same things with you. That should not be the reason why you're not cordial. That's the wrong reason. You must be cordial. Because Christianity, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, deals with persons. So you must know how to deal with offenses. You see that? You must know how to deal with offenses. Luke 17. Offenses will always come. There are some things that are not just prophecies. They are self-fulfilling prophecies. Luke 17:1. It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto through whom they come. It is impossible. All things are possible. This is also possible. Offenses will come. Say offenses will come. It's not a negative confession. It is a confession of faith. Hallelujah. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation and trial. Say God forbid battle. God forbid battle. I reject it in Jesus' name. Alright, no problem. But there will be. Offenses will come. The word offenses is the Greek word scandalion. S-K-A-N-D-A-L-I-O-N. Scandalion. S-K-N-D-I-D-A-L-I-O-N. It's the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 18:7, just talking about the same thing. Scandalion. What does it mean? It means something that causes you to stumble. So, rather than see a hurt or someone has sinned against me, I will see a temptation to be offended. So, I don't take it personal. Oh my God, why would he do that? I'm saying I can't get offended. We're going to see something now. Scandalous. So, it comes to make you stumble. Because the minute you get into unforgiveness, you have stumbled. A guy asked me a question I'm probably going to talk about later tonight. And I give him some quite an answer. Let's look at someone who got offended. John the Baptist. Matthew 11. Amen. Say, have the nature of the Father. Matthew 11, 1. And it came to pass, verse 1, when Jesus was had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed hence to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 2, Matthew 11. Now when John had heard in the prison that the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Look at this question. Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? This is John, the greatest of the prophets, the Elijah that was to come. Are you the one to come? He showed him to Israel. John did not read the scriptures to know who Jesus was, though he confirmed it with scripture. John saw it himself. Then he says to the same person, are you the one to come, or should we expect another? Look at how Jesus answered. Verse 6. There are two things we're going to learn from this story. Verse 6, Jesus says, alright. Verse 5, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed when they came to him. The deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Can we take verse 6 together? And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Can you imagine? He says, go and tell John not to get offended. Because when you are offended, you will not see what God is doing again. And that happens in many relationships. Have you said these things before? And you say, and you say it is a man of God. Oh. When he laid hands on you, you got healed. He was not a Gungan man, was he? Praise God. You get offended. And is that a church? Offense is speaking. What did he teach me? What's the big deal in what he taught me? That's speaking. Now I'm not saying you cannot objectively call something ignorance, but you will know when a statement is born out of offense. Obviously, John wasn't satisfied with Jesus' action towards what he was experiencing. You know, when they beheaded John, Jesus said nothing. He just moved away. He made no commentary. John probably even got offended wherever he went. You go. You know something like that. So the next, you know, sometimes what creates offenses is not what we say, but what we don't say. Maybe the pastor of your church or your zone just say something. Oh, I thank God for those brethren who helped us in this project. Brother John, thank you so much. Sister Jane, thank you so much. Are you waiting? Earnestly expecting? They say, and Russell, and all of you say, me? Part of all of you? Then, you know, that's not the kind of thing you tell people. You can't exactly say that's what's paining you. But how would you say, Pastor didn't say I was one of those people? You know, it's not, people say, oh, you are carnal, so you look for something spiritual. Have you not sensed that the teaching is not as strong as before? you sure can't say because pastor didn't recognize you, that's why you're angry. That would be too overtly carnal. So you spiritualize your carnality. I've been sensing in my spirit, man, the Holy Spirit. You know that. You guys were not saved when I say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, my spirit, man, I sense offenses. You just don't see it again. You get your husband gets on the poop and you as wife, he's preaching. So, go and leave what you are preaching for. Because of money for food. Sometimes we got something. Jesus in our face. None of God. Are you the one to come? John. This is not the Pharisees speaking, no. Is the prophet John, the greatest in the Old Testament. So offenses will come. You must know how to handle it. Sometimes it's what the other person doesn't do. Write this down. Offenses can be so ridiculous that it will destroy supernatural relationships. It will destroy. Praise God. Offenses are strong. Have you found out that I'm a young Christian? One of you are probably older Christians. But you've discovered that the reason why people leave churches a whole lot of times has nothing to do with spiritual things. No. Not in spiritual. Someone was telling me how in the church he came from, this and this. I said, look. Say, you know where I came from? Sir, this one. I said, look here, young woman. This is not yet your last stop. So why, sir? Everything you said there is happening here. So are you, make sure you are mobile. Because, hey, we're human beings. We're human beings. See, I can't always be speaking in tongues. You realize that? See, everything Pastor will come, is the word that will come out. I receive it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Says who? The people now don't be angry with you. For no just cause. You gotta take it like that. With all the revelation knowledge and the things of the spirit, I'm disappointed. Same here. You know, we cannot lay too much burdens on our relationships. Amen. All relationships must be give and take. Is that clear? When you see a relationship where the other person is always saying what you did, there's a problem. That's not godly. There's a problem somewhere. All relationships are give and take. So, look at Jesus. Now, I want us to pay attention to Jesus's, you know, after saying that, see what Jesus did. Now, if I were the one without the word, allow me to say this. I'll say, come here, all of you. Who does John think that he is? A mere cousin. I am the word incarnate. With his own mouth, he said it. That's what human beings are, useless people. He didn't say that. See what Jesus did. So you mustn't, because John's offense was a room for Jesus himself to be offended. Because how would you send people to Jesus and ask him, are you the one to come? That's not right now. Somebody that everybody is saying is Jesus, and say, the prophet everybody respects, and say, go and ask him. He didn't ask himself, he sent his boy to ask the Lord and Savior, Kurios Christos. Kurios Christos Hohisos. Hohisos Theo Hohios. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I just told you. Meshach Anion, the Messiah of the world. Don't use English words. It will be demeaning. It won't carry the substance. So I'll say, I lambano you. Is that Pastor Lang? You know? Jesus bound the offense. What did he do? Look at verse 7. See what Jesus said about John. What went you out of the wilderness to see? Are we shaking with the wind? A man clothed in raiment? Behold, they that wear silver and king's palaces. What you went to see? A prophet, verse 9. I say unto you, John is more than a prophet. He didn't respond negatively. He is the one that was said, behold, I send my messenger before your face. In 11, there's no one born of a woman who has risen greater than John. What did he do? He validated John. Come on. Come on. His master over bitterness. He validated John. That someone discredits your ministry is not an opportunity for you to do the same thing. The minute you do the same thing, you found yourself, you have even done worse. Amen. You have done worse. Jesus rose higher than the offense. Say, I rise higher than the offense. Raise one hand. Say, I rise higher than offenses. I rise higher than bitterness. Amen. Jesus rose higher. He validated John. He didn't change what he said about John. John changed what he said about Jesus, but Jesus didn't change what he said about John. Amen. So Jesus bound offense and loosed kind-heartedness and good speaking. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's binding and loosing. Binding and loosing is your reaction towards another person's action. This can happen in your office, can happen on your street, in your estate, in your family, husband and wife, siblings, in the church. So in Luke 15, Jesus is accused of receiving sinners. He is. So in Luke, let's get Luke 17. Something's out there. It's Luke 7, sorry. You receive. So the basis of reconciliation has nothing to do with the person's conduct or sins. It is your response naturally. Amen. Amen. I said amen. You know, I've said this in a couple of months and years, and I've asked these questions. I've been in Nigeria all my Christian life, so this is the only place I can make this comment. I said, how many churches do we know within this nation, this country, Nigeria, churches where they teach walking in love? I have hardly seen it in people's take stands. I don't see it. Walking in love. People mention forgiveness. They just say it amongst many things. Don't get offended. He's wrong. In fact, what some people teach is not biblical forgiveness. That it will hinder your growth. It's not about hindering your growth. It's the fact that it is wrong. To hinder you, if you want to rise higher in life, you cannot tolerate bitterness. It's not true. Some of the greatest businessmen in the world are the most bitter human beings you will ever find. Some of the most successful sportsmen. Some of the most successful entrepreneurs. They rose by bitterness. But they will tell you, I got angry. Many of them don't walk in love. In fact, if they walk in love, they will not be rich. So it has nothing to do with materialism. It's just who you are. Amen. It's not so that you will get something. See, God is not a man that you can do something so that you get something. He knows that he did it hypocritically. What is different, and that's why giving is generosity. We are not getting anything back, but that's who we are. We give is not, you have to know the difference between giving and transaction. Transaction, Hey, what do I get back in return? Giving, I just give because I want to meet the need. And God doesn't transact, He's generous. Amen. So if you are not harboring unforgiveness, it's not so that evil will not happen to you. No. There are so many people who grieve in unforgiveness. I have met elderly people who live long and they have hack enemies. In fact, they have circle enemies. In fact, they have rectangular enemies that they will tell you, I told him I was living and they will live long. So it has nothing at all. In fact, hear me well. Somebody was at the verge of death and he said, Father, forgive them. So he died in his forgiveness. The forgiveness is not rescue, Stephen. Amen. But the forgiveness demonstrated Christ. We mustn't teach psychology and call it walking in love. And I said it again. I found out, how many places do we have people teach walking in love? There are denominations in this country. If they teach walking in love, all their doctrines will fall down, die. Luke 7. Jesus again receives a woman who is a prostitute. She's a prostitute. A prostitute is actually a prostitute. So this prostitute embraces Jesus, begins to kiss him, and begins to anoint his feet. And look at what Jesus said in 47. Pay attention to this. And this applies to you and I. Why do you find it difficult to forgive? Jesus said, wherefore I say unto you, as sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, he loves little. Luke 7:47. Now that's a figure of speech. Because really nobody measures, which are many in the eyes of people. Amen. Not many, which are many in the eyes of people, are forgiven. But your sins which are little in the eyes of people, in other words, the reason why many of us abhor unforgiveness is self-righteousness. If you know how much you have been forgiven and you're serious and you're sincere about it, you have no right not to forgive people. Sometimes it's a shame when you find people that preach grace, the second work of Christ, finished work of Christ, the finished redemption, reality of Christ, the new creation, and the way they able stuff, you know that what they preach, they don't believe it. If you believe that Jesus Christ is a propitiation for our sins, you will not hold a hurt against anybody. There's nothing that will stun you that anyone will do. See that? He says she will love much. She appreciates what I've done, Peter. She appreciates my forgiveness. You probably don't. That's why all you gave me when I came to your house was your mother-in-law's sickness. She appreciates me. She knows. She knows the value of my love. So she will love much. The word love is the word agape. She will esteem more. She esteems more. Self-righteous people. Was it Brother Higgins that said it? I can't remember who said it. He said, if there's something God hates more than unrighteousness, it is self-righteousness. If you're looking for something that's worse than unrighteousness, it is self-righteousness. It stings, it annoys. It annoys. Self-righteousness is almost like being an atheist. Recognizing God's love and forgiveness recognizes God himself. Hear this. So you must realize, this is how John put it. We love, 1 John 4:19, because he first loved us. If you have found yourself not forgiving others, it's because you don't understand his own forgiveness. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. That's what Revelation calls first love, your first love, proton agape. The first love is from God to us. The first love is from God to us. And when we recognize the love of God to us, we love others because we know they are objects of his love. How in the world would you hold something against someone whom God doesn't hold anything against? Putting yourself above who you are supposed to be. God forgave someone and you can't forgive the person. Who are you? Who are you, by the way? That's a teaching, I think. Who are you? Oh, who is you? Government college, first day in school. Two parents, they were arguing over a bed space. One of them said, They will say, no, my son's supposed to be there. Sir, who is you?
No, the other one will say,
do you know who is me? The other one will say, who is you? So I gave both of them the name. I said, your name is who is you? The other one said, who is me? That was the nickname I gave him. I gave more people nicknames in my secondary school than anybody did. So first of all, I said, we love because he first. So say he first. Say he first. Say he first. So he first. That's what we do. He first loved. Proton agape. I wrote today, I said, unforgiveness is your lack of appreciation of the gift of God's forgiveness. Unforgiveness in our life is our lack of appreciation of God's forgiveness in our life. That's why legalistic people hardly forgive others. They will smile. They will say, I'm praying for you. But it's not true. In fact, many times people say, I'm praying for you, because they are not. Right? Ephesians 4:32. Let's run through some scriptures together. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So it's not good enough to post on Facebook, glory forever. Forever, dawn forever. And then someone says, you say, what? Then you begin to emit heat waves. I thought forever. You don't actually believe it. If you did, you will know that what God has done for us, He has now made it our own nature to do for others. Amen. Are you in church? Ephesians 4:32. I said, unforgiveness is our lack of appreciation of the gift of God's forgiveness. Let's take 32 together. Ephesians 4:32. Can we take it together? We're going to read 5 scriptures together. Are you ready? So let's go. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. Let's take it all over again, everyone. Let's go again. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Can you see it again? He puts your forgiveness on the platform of God's forgiveness for you. Colossians 3:13. You there? Let's go. Come on. All right, everybody, let's go. Forbearing one another. Hold on. What does it mean to forbear? Forbear. Forbear. What is it for forbear? Forbear. Forbear means it will be bear. Sorry, born. You have to bear it. That means it's not going to be easy. We're going to bear. Forbearing one another. Come on, let's take it together again. Come on. Colossians 3:13. Let's go again one more time. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Same way. The word quarrel is the Greek word mophe. It's complaint or blame or fault. That is, someone does something, he is at fault. He is at fault. Then you forgive. Philippians 1:10. Can we take it together? Philippians 1:10. Are you ready? Come on, let's go. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. The word offense here is the word aproskopos. P-A-P-O-R-O-S-K-O-P-O-S. A-P-R-O-S-K-O-P-O-S. It means something that doesn't harm others. You will not harm others. And he's talking about love. In other words, unforgiveness harms others. Because it will harm people. Things you say about people, you know, things you think about them, it harms others. Aproskopos. It will harm them without offense until the day of Christ. Philippians 2. Let's take one more. Philippians 2. Amen. Philippians 2. Verse 1, let's take it together to verse 3. Let's go. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Amen. Amen. Go back to Matthew 18. So the reason for forgiveness is that we have been forgiven. Anybody forgiven here? Come on. Yeah, come on. Raise your hand if you have forgiven. All right. So you must forgive others. And you forget, forgiveness is active. It's not passive. Is that clear? No, well, I've forgiven you. Imagine God saying, well, I've forgiven you. Say, good morning. I've forgiven you. You call his number, he doesn't pick it. Pastor, are you still angry? No. I've forgiven you, I said. I greeted you last time. I saw you, I just took it back. But don't forget, I've forgiven you. God is saying, I've forgiven you. I've not seen you for the past 1 week. I know. I don't know. Nothing. I've forgiven you. That's God speaking to you. Forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. Praise God. Forgiveness without reconciliation is hypocrisy. Amen. Are you in church? Matthew 18. Read that parable last week. Remember that parable? The parable of the servant and the master, who forgave the servant, and what was the stunt of the servant to forgive. How many people that they will cry, I'm forgiven. They will cry because you are forgiven. What's blessing? There's something goes, forgiveness is in you. Jesus, my hope. But those songs are, they're moving. I see grace filled by your sacrifice. I see love. In the midst of that, someone sent a text. Precious love, precious. Oh, thou hypocrite. But like my dad would say, hypocrites. You know, interesting. Matthew 18. It's not good enough to sing those songs. Let's see it in your conduct. Amen. See it in the church. Let's see it in your department, in your zone. Let's see it at work. Let's see it in your home, with your husband, your wife, your siblings. Let's see it among your family. Let's see it. Praise God. Amen. How many of us can stop repeating a wrong? You can actually not repeat it anymore. Some who have a diary, they write it. 14th April 1621. It was a Tuesday. I will never forget this day. They even write there, I will never, it is written, I will never. Are you in church? Matthew 18. Verse 35. So likewise also, my heavenly Father, do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. I remember someone asked me this question because he read Mark 11:25. If you stand praying, forgive one another. For if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive. He says, sir, I'm wondering where that scripture is, New Testament. I said, do you have a problem forgiving your brother? Why is that scripture a problem for you? Now, I'm just wondering, because I know that our forgiveness for Christ is free. I said, calm down. I know it is free, but why are you particular about that verse? I said, is it that you can't forgive? No, I do, sir. And then why are you? Let it flow. Let's assume it is true. That if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Does that make you unhappy? He said, not really. I'm just saying it's not New Testament. You have a problem. You have an issue. The issue with you is that you are saying, when I look to my list, I see sins. Praise God. You look at it. We'll talk about it later anyway. But notice this. The key issue is that Jesus said, if a brother never forget, Jesus doesn't drop words unconsciously. If a brother So I call the first important principle in forgiveness identification. And that's where we started. Do you believe that the person, now, tell the person, stop writing. Stop writing. In Jesus' name I pray. Ask the person beside you whether he or she is saved. Okay, good. Hold on there. Now, do you agree that that person, I'm very sure some of you seated with each other, by each other, you're not likely to dress the same way, I think. Look the same way. Talk the same way. Have you been to church and they said, turn to someone and the person acted like is on a operation stop Boko Haram. Thank you. I want to edify sleep in Christ Jesus. It is a, I just some of you might say, how can this be my brother in Christ? So, the person is saved, alright? May not have your educational qualification. May not be as fine as you are, blessed be God. Or as handsome as you are. You know, some ladies are handsome, some men are beautiful. And then, you feel, that's my brother. Yeah. You came from the same father. Look at the person again. See your sister? Amen. Some of them are younger than you. Do you know that someone was born again to the church is a brother in Christ? Same right and privilege? Children's church. Isn't that true? So he says, the first thing is identify that this sister, this brother, is my brother. You know, we can use brother as title. That brother now, you know, we're never, the epistles don't have that brother. It is my brother. So that brother, you know, say, that brother that always wears, you know that brother in church? Blue shirt. You cannot miss him. That brother now, you know, okay, I can't see. But you see, the word brother is not a title. The word brother is a relationship. So I must identify the person as my brother. You know, there's some of us, there's some churches we can't attend. If you attend that church, people are, maybe the way they dress, they're coming to service, and you're like, excuse me? Looking at you're just kind of, you know, but they're your brothers in Christ. Amen. Tell your neighbor to get used to me. Okay. Get used to you? Exactly. Get used to me. So, Hebrews 2:11 says, for this cause, verse 12, he's not ashamed to call them, verse 11, brethren, for he that sanctified and those that are sanctified are all of one. So Jesus is not ashamed to call you a brother. So why are you ashamed to call me your brother? Who are you? Why are you ashamed to call me your brother? Don't your neighbor say, I am your brother. Now if you're a sister, you can have sister. I'm your brotherly sister, you know. I am your brother. Not from another mother. Say, well, don't say, my brother from another mother. That's not what I say. You are my brother from the same mother and the same father. We both rose from the dead in Christ. Amen. So you must see the person as your brother. Right? This is the answer for it. That's vital. In Genesis 13 verse 8, we find Abraham and Lot. And sometimes we allow people to redefine our relationships. Lot's herdsmen started to fight Abraham's herdsmen. So, Abraham said to Lot, let there be no, that is binding. Let there be no strife. That's binding. For we are brethren. So he loosed. He said, look around, what do you want?
Look out, bruh. Uncle, are you serious?
You want the shoes?
Okay. Naja Delta. Are you sure you're okay, Oku?
He said, go ahead, you have it. Let there be no strife between us. You determine whether there will be strife or not. Strife doesn't happen by demonic operation. It's by binding and losing. Praise God. Are you in church? 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. I want us to read that together. 1 Peter 4:8. Are you learning something? So the first principle is identification. I must identify the person as a brother. Praise God. Let's take it together. 1 Peter 4:8. If you're in church. Come on, let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's go. And above all things, let's take it again. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. Fervent love. The word fervent love is the word ekmenes, E-K-T-E-N-E-S. It means consistent, intense love. Intense. That is, it will be seen. Fervent love. Agape. It covers a multitude of sin. Concealed is the word. Same word, James 5:20. Conceals a multitude of sin. So I must see the offender as family. Amen. I said amen. I must see the offender as family. It's critical in binding and losing. You are family. We are family. That's important. And if I have family, I don't expose family. I don't expose family. I cover family. My dream of a local church is, I was young and I saw that. My dream of a local church is a place where the Word of God is taught. The Spirit of God has free course. Ministry gifts are raised, and the love of God is their culture. People practice it. It's not just a preaching. Just people practice it. They let go. They let go. Every time we let go, the Word of God increases in our midst. Learn to let go. Some of us hold on to our confession of sins without wavering. You hold on without wavering. For faithful is he that promised. You don't give up. Amen. Are you there? Many folks who grew up in polygamous family backgrounds need to do an extra check on walking in love. You know why? Because I've said this for many years. You had things. You grew up among suspicion many times. So you gotta be careful that you don't come into the body of Christ and you have the same mentality. Gotta be careful. Not everybody, but many. Gotta be careful. Amen. We don't expose family, praise God. We conceal what family does. Do you see folks as family? That's why Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 5, for us to deal with that rebellious brother, we have to treat him like he's not a brother. Because if we treat him like a brother, we can't deal with him. We have to first treat him like he's not a brother. So he will see the rebellion and drop it. We have to first do it that way. Because if we don't do that, we can't do what we did to him. In other words, if he's seen as a brother, we have to conceal what he has done. So in 2 Corinthians 2, he said, let's confirm our love towards him. Same person. Assuming so. In 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians 3, he says, look, if someone is not listening to our instructions, verse 10, he says, look, don't eat with him so that he'll be ashamed. However, treat him like a brother, not an enemy, because a brother can go to the extreme. Like a brother. Have you ever tried to ask someone to discipline your child for you and say, that's enough now? What is it? And then you are the one telling yourself, sorry. Because no one wants you to have their children in undignifying ways. No one wants that. Praise God. Amen. So let's look at the book of Acts and then we start close to that. The book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 44. And 2:44. So the first principle is that we must see ourselves as family. Say, we are family. We are family. I remember I went to preach for some guys in 2002. And their family song was, we are ever the father. We are joined every that song. We are children of the kingdom. We are family, family, family. We are one. But if that was family, then what is family? The kind of stuff that they were fighting each other over is not a willow. It's church position in the family. No. You know, in family, I don't care who takes the glory as long as I know it belongs to Jesus. That's family. Amen. Acts 2:44. Are you learning something? So the first principle is I must see family. I am forgiving family. Acts 2:44. He says, let's take it together. Acts 2:44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Acts 4:32. Acts 4:32. Let's take that one together too. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. Everybody come on. Of one heart. Of one soul. Neither said any of them the heart of things which he possessed was his own. For they had all things common. The word common there is the word koinos. K-O-I-N-O-S. It's where you derive koinonia from. But something is important about this term, koinos. It is used for things that have no reverence. Unholy things. I'll tell you what it means. In Acts 10:14, remember, when Peter saw that vision, he said, you mustn't call uncommon what God, or common, sorry, what God has cleansed. It's the same word koinos. Same thing in Acts 11:18. Acts 11:8. Common. Romans 14:14. Unclean. It's used for unclean things. Pay attention to something I'll show you. Why do they use this same word? The word common and the word, you know, because you know the word holy means special. The word common means anybody can have it. So, he says they had all things common. That is, no one was treated special. You get that? That's the use of words. No one was treated special. Nobody was treated because of the kind of car he drives or where he lives or the kind of job that drives him to. No one was treated specially because, oh my God, oh, this fellow is not a Nigerian, just an American skin, having a Nigerian skin. No. They had all things common. In other words, when they come together in the service, you will not know the class of anyone. Everything was common. Praise God. Nothing was special. Praise God. No special treatment. That's the same word where you derive the word koinonia, fellowship from. Are you still there? Are you there? So, no offense is a function of identification. No special treatment. I've said that before. So you don't have any special treatment. Let me address this quickly. I think it's more. And this is a little bit more practical. You know, there is a way you can treat people close to you also as though they are not brothers in Christ. Particularly, for example, if you're in a polygamous home, your stepbrother is your stepbrother in Christ. That is, you know what I mean by that? He's born again now, but he's still your stepbrother in Christ. No, he's your brother in Christ. And you must treat him that way. Your husband is first your brother in Christ. Your wife is first your sister in Christ. For she is your wife. Amen. And your pastor is also your brother in Christ. Can't say amen. can say amen. Praise God. So, you know, that's important that we see it. People at your workplace, they're born again. You know. So, what's this? The local church is the place where you test your love walk the most. The local church. That's the place where you test your love walk the most. You always know people in their local church. You do. I close it. You always know people in their local church. Everybody looks good when you first join a local church. Oh my God, I've been so blessed. The teaching of the word. You know, you hear that a lot from first times. Oh my God, the word was just flowing until you attend the membership classes. You're in a department, a zonal fellowship. And then you no longer comment about the deep insight in the word. It's not, hey, brother, so, Alpha. You lose your peace. Then in the family say, quick, the person outside say, you're welcome. You know, we are one big happy. To the other most high. But that one is boss. We are meeting 11 p.m. Is that it? Inside the Luke. Then your leader says, why are you behaving that way? That's nonsense. What? You are now testing your nonsense. Say, what? Me? You look at the fellow up and down. You remember who is you. Yeah, your love walk is being tested. Praise God. Amen. In a prayer meeting. Because you know, like inside the word, put your hand like this. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to pray. There's something inside them. There's somewhere in your mind to wish. You know, the love walk is being tested. And as a pastor too, you can preach all the, I'm what the world says I am. The church member does something, if you like. Lord, would you, I call down fire? Just this once, Lord. Let me do this once. The local church, we socialize. We talk. Amen. Let them come visit your house. The first time you like that they came. The second time they come without telling you. Bro. How you know? And they're already using your TV like that. You can't exactly complain. You go, I didn't know you were coming. Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm speaking in tongues. You now start playing, making your life count. You with your head. Pastor, how was your day? It was great, thank you. See them on your sofa, the one you save money to buy on the road to you, like that place where they sell stuff. You bought just one and you put it in the middle. And you just lie down there to meditate. And they just put their legs there. And to make matters worse, they are listening to the word. So that is a scandalion. A scandalion awaits you. There you go. And the person is there. Someone says, that brother. He said, you know what you're saying? I'm telling you. I'm telling you! That's not what I'm saying. That's not what you're saying. I walk in love. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I tolerate others. And I forbear things. I bind unforgiveness. And I lose forgiveness. Hallelujah.